Monche, please. She is she has stage 4 cancer. Continue to pray for her. I don't know if everybody, I know a lot of people do know her. That God would just heal her body. You know, His will be done. His will be done. If you would, let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, and I know it's a familiar scripture. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Big John. In John chapter 3, it's talking about, and we know, Nicodemus and him going and asks how he could be saved and all this stuff. Very important, because we know salvation can only come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one door. Like this, just as there's only one door to get out of this building from that end. That's the only door. And, you know, Nicodemus went to him and was asking him how he could be saved and all that stuff. And the Lord told him what he needed to do, and he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And we know the probably the most famous verse is probably John 3:16, which really touches probably every one of our hearts, because it declares the love of God towards us. And you see, the enemy, old Slewfoot, doesn't want us to know the love of God. He wants us to think of God as someone that hates us. Or someone, now there is judgment, I'm not talking about that. Or a God that will destroy us if he has an opportunity to do so. But we know this, that the scripture says that God loves his people. It says, John 3:16, we know the scriptures, we can read up there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And so probably each and every one of us that I know of could probably look back to the place in time where we gave our hearts to the Lord. Maybe somebody came and spoke to us, you know, and we gave our heart to the Lord. Maybe we were at a church service or at a revival or at a tent meeting, camp meeting, something like that, and we went up to the front and we gave our hearts to the Lord, you know. Or maybe we were listening on the radio nowadays or on the television, you know, and we saw a preacher or something, and we were gripped by the Holy Ghost on the inside, and he did something on inside of it, and we were drawn to our God. And so we gave our hearts to the Lord, and we repeated the prayer that came forth, and we become what we have become, God's child at that time. Because before that, we were not his. And so, you know, it's a process of time where, you know, we finally gave our hearts to the Lord and let God do a mighty work in us and through us. And let me tell you, it says anyone that comes to the Lord, he will accept. Religion says you have to do this, this, and this, then maybe we'll accept you. No. But God will accept any and everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we live, we strive with everything within us, with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit being unleashed from the heavens above on us to help us to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Salvation is free. Salvation is free. But we got to remember this. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, we have relinquished ownership of our lives. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. You know, I've talked to some people and they're saying, well, you know, I want to go to this church or whatever, and whatever, that's up to them. And I'll tell them this. Are you saved? Well, you know, they are. Yes. I said, sir, ma'am, you have no choice. And they look at me like, well, I'm an American. I'm independent. I can do what I want to do. And I said, now that you are saved and you've given your life to the Lord, you have no choice where you go to church. God picks that for you. You have no choice where you live. God picks that for you. We relinquish everything. That's why God says give everything to him. Now in doing that, God's spirit and God's anointing and God's power is shed abroad in our hearts and in our lives. But we get the idea, the church world gets the idea that they can do what they want to do. And that's not truth. The truth is we are to submit ourselves under the obedience and power of the Holy Spirit unto our God and let him do what he wants to do in us. And when we do that, we become more than what we ever thought we could be. We can reach more people than we ever thought we could reach. We can become more than what we ever thought we could be by the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost, by the presence of Almighty God. See, when God looks at you, and I know I've said this before, when God looks at us, you and I have been made in the image of our God. That's why the enemy hates us so much. That's why the enemy hates a person that will walk down the aisle or come to a church or in a car or in their room and listening and give their hearts to the Lord. Because he knows the identity of the enemy has been done away with, and now the identity of our God has been set upon them. And when old Slewfoot looks at you and I, from that day forward that we give our hearts to him, he looks at us with hatred towards us because we are now, when he looks at us, he sees what? The God in us. Because we have been made in his image, in the image of our God. Now, I know there's a process of things that God has to do. But when he does a work, we need to let God work. Now, I want to read another scripture to you. Let's see. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Look at this. It says, 517, I'm sorry. 517. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Remember that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Or a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look. And we're going to read something else. All things have been passed away. Don't let those things come back at you. Okay? Look. Who has not sinned since you got saved? Come on. Anybody? No? Nobody? Come on, I give you a dollar. $2. Five? Ten? No. You get a dollar, you just raise your hand. So we've all sinned. Okay. We've all sinned. All things are passed away. They've been done away with. Remember, you know, I know that's hard for us to realize, especially when we gave our hearts to the Lord. And man, we felt the presence and the power of Almighty God. And we've lived a life for a while, and something happens and we fall, and when we come back, it's hard for this brain to forget the past, huh? Of what we did or said or our actions or whatever it was, whatever it was. But God says, forget those things. All things are passed away. That means God remembers it no more. No more. It doesn't even come to his recollection of anything. When he looks at you, you and I, and we come to repentance and we say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me. From that day forward, he does not remember. He doesn't even think about it. Those things that were done against him. Because all sin is against him. Because it's against the blood of Jesus. And so you can have that scripture to remember. And when old Slewfoot comes around and says, oh yeah, you remember when you said, look, all things are passed away. Thank you, Father. I'm a new creature in Christ. See, that's just sharpening that sword. It says the word of God is like a two-edged sword that sharpens to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's close, people. The word of God cuts. We need to know the word of God. We need to get the word of God in us. Because it's the word of God that will get us the victory as we place our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. The cross is the victory, people. We got to believe what Jesus did. And when Jesus paid the price on Calvary's cross, all victory was won for us. That means all those things that hinder us from becoming what God wants us to be, that tries to entangle us and tie our feet and our arms and our legs, that God says through the cross of Calvary, as you keep your faith in that, in what he did, he can unravel those things and give us victory and sanctify us in what he wants us to be and where he wants us to go. The power of Almighty God in what he can do for us. Praise God. I want you to turn. All things are passed away. Now look at this. I need to hurry because, boy. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Galatians, Ephesians. Look at this. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now this is kind of the point I wanted to get to, because there's other stuff. When you and I gave our hearts to the Lord, we were sealed by God. A seal came upon us. The blood of Jesus. It seals us. That means everywhere I walk and everywhere I go in the spirit realm, and you too, the enemy knows this is God's child. Sealed. We can't see it. We can't feel it. But been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Because you see, we are his. Sealed by God. And when we let that seal there by the Spirit of the Lord, everywhere we go, everything we do, the enemy knows we can't go after him or her. We can't do whatever we want to do to him or her, because they have been sealed by God, by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Now you might say, well, what happened to Job? Well, remember this. Didn't Lucifer have to have permission? Does the enemy have to have permission if he wants to try to do anything to us? That means the enemy is still under the thumb of our God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Our enemy is still under the thumb of the God we serve. That means whatever comes our way as we are serving God and we're doing to the best of our ability, that God is in control of our lives because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, sealed by God, if they give their hearts to the Lord. And the spirit realm, they know. We can't see it because of the natural eye and because of the downfall of humanity. But in the spirit realm, they see it. They see it. They see those people have been sealed by God. I can't do that to them. I can't do that to them because we've been sealed by God. Now, look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 19. It says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knows them who are his." Ooh. "And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So we know that the seal has been placed upon the church for security and for purity upon our lives. The seal of God. The seal of God. Now, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9, please. Talking about, it's on page 1376. Thank you. I want you to see something here, what God can do. I know all this stuff that's going around, people, the coronavirus deal. Honestly, what I feel in my heart, in my spirit, is that it's been hyped up more than what it is. Now, I'm not trying to downplay it at all, but I think it's really been hyped up. I think God seals his people. Now, you might say, "Well, Pastor, are you against going doctors?" No, I'm not. I'll go every 6 months, Lord. No, I'm not. I don't want to get that right. But God can seal his people towards these things. Just like he did. You know, you remember Cain and Abel? Remember who? Cain killed who? Abel. And what did God do to Cain? He sealed him to go forth and said he sealed him so that he would not, no one would go after him and kill him and destroy him. God knows how to put a seal upon the people. The blood of Jesus has sealed us. Sealed us. We don't live like the world. We don't go to the same places the world goes. We don't do the same things that the world does. Supposed to, anyway. Huh? We live a life that is pleasing unto our God. Pleasing unto him. But God can seal his people from things that the world is vulnerable to. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take precautions and, you know, make sure your hands are clean. But aren't those things that we're supposed to do anyway? You know? And you look back upon plagues that have killed millions and millions of people through time. What's the difference with this one? And I know this is what I want to say to you. Keep calm. The peace of God. The peace of God. And I know the world will get you. If you get on the news, they will drive you crazy. They will have people doing all kinds of things that really doesn't matter in the end. And I look at it this way, even though, let's say somebody does catch that we know of. Well, God can heal them. And if God doesn't heal them, they'll meet their Savior. Amen. No, I'm not trying to be light of it. Not at all. But that's what we have as children of the living God. Our Father, our God, our Lord paid the price on Calvary's cross. He's the one in control of this world. He made it. He's in control of things. We are the church of the living God, not the dead God. We are the church of the living God that Jesus, when he finished all his work, sat at the right hand of the Father because his work was complete and done with. Now look at Ezekiel chapter 9. Look at this. Starting with verse 1, please. It says, he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them who have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Verse 2. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Verse 3, and the glory of the Lord of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men who sigh and who cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of thereof. Stop there. The children of Israel, this is Jerusalem, people, okay? This is Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the everlasting city. Jerusalem, the place when we come back with the Lord, that's where we'll be in Jerusalem, is Jerusalem. That's why the Muslims and the Jews, they all fight over that place, but that's God's, and that's the Jews. No matter what they want, the Muslims, they're out of here. But here, evil had come up so evil upon that city that God had arranged for these angels to come. These men, he called them men, but it was angels that came. 6, 7. And they came and he said, I want you to go forth and start killing. And let me tell you, he said, but first of all, I want you to go and I want you to mark all those that are mine. People, God's in control. The word of God is in control. God marks his people. God marks his people. Don't be scared about all this stuff. Don't get scared. I mean, and ladies, I know it's hard sometimes because ladies are weak. That's the truth. God says they're a weaker vessel. It just talks about weaker strength and stuff. But their faith in God is strong. But turn to your husband if you have one for help. If you don't, turn to God or get somebody, because the devil will try to work and try to make you worry about the future. Worry about things that may never happen. And so we turned to our, so he marked these people and they went out and they marked them. Okay. And that's where I want us to get. They marked them. Now I want you to turn to Revelations. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Revelations chapter 7. Revelations chapter 7 is talking about the 144,000. Remember, Revelations chapter 7 is 144,000 Jews that will not bow to the Antichrist. They will not bow to the things of the world within that 7-year span. Most of the theologians believe that the 144,000 will come out and that will be the second resurrection or the second rapture, if you want to put it that way, about the 3.5-year mark. And that God will call them forth. Remember, it's 12,000 from each tribe of the children of Israel, which sums up 144,000. Now look at this. Starting with verse 1, it says, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And the wind should not blow on the earth, nor in the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God or in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. Look at verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Remember this. God knows how to keep his people. God knows how to keep his people. God knows how to keep his people. Don't get scared. Don't get antsy. Let the Spirit of God calm that on the inside of us, and you roll with the things of God. You serve God to the best of your ability. You share about Christ to other people. You let God be God in your heart and life. See, this is the thing. I've learned this. You know the Y2K stuff? I never bought into it. I said, something's not right. Something's not right. Now, some did, and, you know, they were just trying to preserve maybe what may have happened. Every time some things like this happens, it always distracts the church. Huh? Distracts, like, the church is supposed to serve who? God. Right. God. Serve God. We are to share the gospel with people because that's what we do. We want to see people saved. We want to see people come to the knowledge of Christ. That's the heartbeat of God. His children sharing to other people about himself and what he has done for them. There's no other God like our God. There's no other one like him that has died upon Calvary's cross and given everything he could to a lost and dying world that he made. Not that he made them lost and dying. They turned out that way. Our God can do all things, people. All things. All things. Those 144,000, he told them, go and mark them. God has marked us, people. His children. We've been marked by God. And let me tell you, every time these things come around, turn from them. And say, let me keep my eyes upon God. Let me keep my eyes upon God. Well, what if I don't have food? Let me keep my eyes on God. What if I don't have a vehicle to drive? Let me keep my eyes on God. What if I don't have air conditioning at night? Okay, let me keep my eyes on God. What if I don't have toilet paper? Let me keep my eyes on God. What if I don't have sanitizer? Let me keep my eyes on God. What if I don't have Lysol? Let me keep my eyes on God. Yeah, we keep our eyes on the Lord, people. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Don't let the world distract the church. Let the church distract the world. Ooh, come on now. Get out there and share the gospel. Oh, devil, you want to come and destroy the earth and all the things in it? Okay, but it's not your time yet to do the little that you want to do. But we're to share the gospel, people. Share the gospel. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I get a little nervous. I understand. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I understand. I understand. But you let the Holy Spirit keep working. Don't let the opportunity go by when all kind of things are happening and you say, let's trust God. Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust him. Trust. Don't let fear come in. Look, that's what the devil will try to do. Stop the church from winning the loss. Let me tell you, something I've heard one preacher say this, we don't realize how saved we are. And the world doesn't realize how lost they are. Huh? The world didn't realize that heaven, that hell is their home for eternity. And we got to get out there, whatever we can do. You might say, well, you know, I don't see a lot of people. That's okay. You start praying and saying, Lord, give me some people. Lord, give me some people. Lord, the Lord will bring people your way. Just share about Jesus to them and give everything you can. Because you see, you want them to be sealed by God. We want to be sealed. And I do the forehead because that's what, you know, you always, a seal of some kind, you know, you read. But just sealed by the blood of Jesus. Look, keep your eyes upon Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And let me tell you this, God will never let us down. You might say, what if I don't have no money? Well, you know, God will provide. Look, just talk to our people here. They'll tell you how God can provide. Huh? Talk to some of our people here and see how God can heal. Look, there's no God like our God. And I know the world and even some Christians out there will tell you, well, you know, you can't trust God that much. Well, you just kick him away and you say, look, I'm going to trust him no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what goes on in my life, no matter the mess ups I've made, you know, no matter what's going on in my life today, I'm going to trust him. Because you see, he's a God that can be trusted. He's a God that can we can give our lives to and say, he can make something better than what I can do. That's the kind of God we serve, people. That's the kind of God we serve. There's no one like him. Can you imagine the little lady with the oil? Remember that story? I hate to say story because you think of a story that really didn't happen. This is really the truth. A story in the Bible that's truth. And he says, start pouring it out. She got every bowl she can get, every barrel she could get, everything around her house that could hold something, water, or hold the oil. And started pouring it, and it never stopped to the end. God will never stop pouring out his spirit upon us and giving us direction till we say that's enough. Because God's a gentleman. But let me tell you this, people. God loves you. And I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, are you sure about that? Yes, I'm sure. Does it matter the mistakes we've made? Does it matter how far we went away from him? It may not even matter if we even cursed him. But we've come back. And his love for us is stronger than ever before. That he says, come. Come unto me, all you that are heavy and heavy laden and burdened. And I will give you what? Rest. It's the peace of God that we look to that keeps us going. Look, God loves us so much that he will move a mountain. If he has to, for us to get to the other side. The scripture says, seek me and you shall find me. Knock and the door shall be open, my Lord. Seek him with everything within you. Look up scriptures this week on the peace of God. Look up scriptures this week upon how to alleviate fear from coming in. Look, we serve a God that makes all things possible. All things possible. We just got to keep looking to him. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, if you don't mind, for just a minute. Just a minute. I just want to make sure with everybody, you know, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Christ? Have you received Christ as your Lord and Savior? I'm asking people on Facebook too that are watching or may watch later on, do you know Christ? If you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. 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 Maybe you're at a place where you're saying, you know, Pastor, I once served God and I've gone away a little bit from Him. And I need to rededicate my life to Him. And you'd like us to pray with you. Would you please raise your hand? I always try to give opportunities. I see your hand way back there. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's all pray together because we do have somebody that raised their hand and we want to be with her. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew, why don't you come? Andrew's going to close us in prayer. But I just want to tell you this. Jelaine and I, we love you guys. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Thank you. And I pray you have a great week this week. Okay, guys? If you need, call, all righty.